He's risen. Indeed. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, that's right. Let's give our Lord a hand this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have a special service, and I'll tell you more about that. But let's begin, as we always do, by entering into prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to just come before you today and marvel at who you are and marvel at your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Father, that when we were your enemies, you sent your most precious Son to come to earth and become the God-man and go to the cross and take on our identity as sinners as he paid the price for all of our sins. And in fact, you condemned sin itself in his flesh that day on Calvary. And then he went to the grave. He was really dead. And then 3 days later, you raised him from the dead through the greatest power in the universe. And now whoever believes in your Son will never perish but have eternal life. And we just want to thank you for that, Father. And we just ask today, Father, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct all the goings on here, Father, the ones that we're going to do in the service today, the readings and the singing. And also, Father, the informal sharing and being with one another. We just ask that you bless it all and that it all be to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements this morning before we get started. We're going to have a special service today. We're calling it Hymns and Hallelujahs. And what it is it's going to be a series of readings and songs interspersed. And some of them will be congregation songs, which will mean you'll have an opportunity to sing to the Lord this morning. Some will be solos. We also have a special surprise in the middle and at the end, and we'll see more of that later. I do want to mention that we're going to also be celebrating the Lord's Supper together at the end. And a couple other things. I want to welcome our guests this morning. Thank you for coming. We're here to serve you and to bring the word of God and the love of Christ to this community. And so we thank you for being with us today. And we just pray for you. We also ask, if you'd like, that we would provide us your information, our guest book, and that way we can reach you and have contact with you in the future. And I want to mention one other thing before we get started, and that is that this month we're going to be featuring Grace Prison Ministries as our missionary organization. They're a prison missionary organization. And Keithy and Starling, who heads that mission up, will be here next week. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I want to let everybody know that. All righty. So without any further ado, let's begin this morning. If you will, everyone please stand, and we're going to sing our first song.
Morning break of dawn, stumbling to
Morning again, everybody. I want to let you know that we're going to be in the Word of God today and looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, starting in the Old Testament, where we're going to look at the prophet Isaiah. We're going to look at the Psalms, and then we're going to move to the New Testament and the Gospels to see the story of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And then we're going to be in the book of Acts to see how they preached the gospel, and then we're going to be in the epistles to see the reflections on it and what it means for us. So we have a very full plate when it comes to feeding you the Word of God this morning. And in between all of that, there are going to be other songs. So you're going to get a chance to sing, hear soloists, and a couple of other things as well. So we're going to begin today then in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. If anybody needs a Bible, please raise your hand. We want to make sure everybody has one. We got lots of Bibles in the back. Anybody who needs one, just raise your hand. And we'll make sure you have one. And Jack is coming up with that now. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Thank you. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. And by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. And therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. That's the prophet Isaiah prophesying that the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection hundreds of years before it happened. Alrighty, at this time we're going to have a special song that Joe is going to sing for us. And then after that we're going to hear a reading from the Psalms from Karen.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we all will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for he is the love, the unfailing love, he is the love of God. Mountains and the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever his love will reign. And we all bow down, surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for he is the love, the unfailing love, he is the love of God. He's the light of love.
Good morning.
Morning.
Psalm 16, 5 through 11. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I'll bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever.
Not keep it.
Jesus is mine. When he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day.
This is from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 39. And when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, behold, he is calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion, who was standing right in front of him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God.
Forever he This is Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. I had to ask a very wise pastor why they were bringing spices. These spices were for preservation of a body, also to show respect for the dead. And these were Jesus' closest friends, so they truly expected to find a dead body. When they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." You can read this in Matthew 17, 22 and Matthew 17, 23. And then they remembered his words and returned to the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other woman were with them telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling what had happened.
Wives don't like it when I say this, but I don't know, but I sort of detected a teaching gift as he was doing that this morning. Thank you, Art. You guys ready? All right, this is something a little different we're going to do this morning. It's a dramatic presentation, but it's got a great message, and pay attention to what everybody's saying, because it's going to give you some great facts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why it's the best documented event in the ancient world. All right, so I'm going to start this thing. You ready? Well, you're already silent, so I can't tell you to be silent. But be silent anyway. Because the centurion has now arrived for his press conference this morning.
Is it true that the body disappeared?
Has anyone found the body?
Is it true that the body was stolen?
Can you confirm that there was a resurrection?
How many witnesses were there?
Is it true that the governor's wife is involved?
Is it true that the governor's wife predicted a disaster?
Why isn't the governor here to explain things?
Can you tell us where the body was buried?
Is it true that the rabbi predicted his own resurrection?
Quiet, please. My name is Matthias. I am a centurion in the palace guard of His Honor, the governor of the province of Palestine. Governor Pilate has asked me to make a brief statement to the press. So, here it is. A Jewish rabbi named Jesus of Nazareth was executed by crucifixion 3 days ago. His body was buried in the tomb of an official of the Jewish temple immediately after his death. This morning, just before sunrise, the body was apparently stolen by the overzealous disciples of the rabbi in an effort to make it look like a resurrection, which had been prophesied by the rabbi himself. At this time, we have still not located the body, but when we do, we will make it available to the press so that this hoax may be put to rest. All I have for now is this. Thank you.
Mr. Malthus, is it true that Jesus was not really dead when he was laid to rest in the tomb?
I am sorry. I am not prepared to answer any questions.
It's a simple question, Mr. Malthus. Was Jesus dead when he was taken down from the cross or not?
He was dead. Now, if you'll excuse me.
How do you know he was dead?
Because I am the presiding officer at his execution.
You still haven't answered the question.
When a Roman officer presides at an execution, he has one main duty: to make sure the prisoner is dead before he is removed from the cross. To make sure a prisoner is dead, we slide a very sharp spear under the prisoner's rib and up, indicating that he had been dead. His blood and water had separated, meaning he was dead for about several hours.
Is it true that the tomb was heavily secured and guarded in anticipation of this body snatching?
I told you, I am not prepared to answer any questions.
You are in charge of security for Governor Pilate, are you not, Mr. Malthus?
Well, yes, I am, but...
So if security was beefed up around the tomb where the rabbi was buried, you would have been the one in charge of it, would you not?
Yes, I was.
So was security beefed up around the tomb or not?
Yes, it was. We sealed the tomb. That is all I can say for now. I'll keep you posted.
Can you tell us how the tomb was sealed, Mr. Malthus?
The tomb itself is a small cave carved into the side of a limestone cliff. We covered the mouth of the cave with a large rock, and after the rock was placed, we sealed it with hot wax around the edges, so that if someone moved the rock, the wax seal would have to be broken. Thank you for your attention. Now I must leave.
Mr. Malthus, how much did the rock weigh?
About 1 ton.
1 ton? 2,000 pounds?
Yes. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Mr. Malthus, did you place any guards in front of the tomb?
Yes. The temple leaders were worried that the disciples of Jesus would try to steal the body and make it look like a resurrection. So, at the request of the temple leaders, we posted guards in front of the tomb around the clock for the last 3 days.
So, in order for the disciples of Jesus to steal the body, they would not only have to move a 1-ton rock, they would also have to overpower the guards. Is that right?
We're not quite sure how the disciples stole the body. We are just sure that they did.
Were any of the guards injured?
No, they were not.
So these well-armed soldiers let the body be stolen without a fight?
I am told the guards fell asleep.
Mr. Malthus, what's the punishment for a guard who falls asleep on duty?
Under Roman law, that is punishable by death.
May we speak to the guards before they are executed?
The guards are not available for questioning right now. They have been transferred to the garrison at Caesarea.
Are you saying that the guards have been transferred instead of being executed?
That was not my decision. His Honor the Governor made that decision.
How convenient.
Excuse me?
Is that why Governor Pilate didn't appear at this press conference?
The governor is not feeling well.
Is it true that there was an earthquake around the time the body disappeared?
Yes, I believe there was.
So what you're telling us is that the guards slept while a 2,000-pound rock was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb and during an earthquake?
That's the story, yes.
Mr. Malthus, is it true that several hundred feet of body wrappings were unwound before the body was taken away?
Yes, the wrappings are all still there.
Do you really believe that grave robbers would take the time to unwrap the body before they stole it?
I can only report to you what was reported to me.
You don't believe the story any more than we do you, Mr. Malthus?
I am sorry, I'm just a soldier. I'm not allowed to interject my personal opinions into the matter of state.
Is it true that while Jesus was alive, he healed one of your own servants who had been paralyzed?
Yes, that is true. But I don't see what that has to do with it.
Can you tell us what medicines Jesus gave your servant to heal him?
He didn't give him any medicine, none at all.
Well, how did he heal him?
He just gave the word and he was healed.
You mean Jesus didn't even touch your servant?
Jesus didn't go to my house. He was across this town.
You mean Jesus healed your servant sight unseen?
He said heal and he was healed?
Across town?
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead just as he predicted?
I'm sorry. I'm just a soldier. I'm not allowed to speak about matters of religion.
Mr. Malthus, this is not a matter of religion. Under these circumstances, it would have taken more faith to believe that the body was stolen than to believe a man who performed miracles could rise from the dead. Isn't that right?
I'm sorry. I really must go.
Mr. Malthus, are you a Christian?
When did you first meet Jesus?
Oh, wait. How did you become a Christian?
When did you become a Christian?
Can we speak to your servant who was healed?
Thank you.
By the way, tryouts for the next play here at Lighthouse Bible Church will be next Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks very much, everybody. They're doing double duty. See that? They're right back for a song. So thank you, guys. Congregation song at this time.
Savior, lover, giver, name above all names. Ruler, redeemer, risen, conqueror, Jesus, Jesus, name above all names. Your name is Jesus, risen from the dead. You are the glory, lifter of the head. You have the only name by which we can be saved. I call you Jesus. Name above all names. Name above all names.
Let's say who he is again. Healer.
Healer. Mender. Master. Savior. Lover. Giver. Name above all names.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This reading is from Acts 10:34-43. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him does what is right and is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. You yourselves know that the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting in Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, those of us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins.
Can't do that.
Thank you. Good morning. This reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 45. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are also those who are from heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Love, His His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Thank you. Pat, thank you. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already obtained it or have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join me in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now told you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He is even subject all things to Himself.
Well, I hope that everything has been edifying, the music, the drama, and of course the Word of God. At this time, I would like to invite to the platform Steve, Mark, and Jack. You guys could all come up. You know, when we began Lighthouse Bible Church in 2010, we were in another place. But from the very beginning, we always had music and song leaders. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but today is the last day that Andy and Lynn are going to be singing for us, because they're going to be moving on pretty soon. And so with some sorrow in our heart, but also joy for all that they've meant to us, we would just like to have them come up at this time so that we can express our gratitude for all that they've done for us and who they are. Andy, Lynn. Please keep them in prayer, and I know they'll come back to visit us from time to time. You want to say something? Good. I don't want to be the only one talking right now.
Quick funny story. When we first started, actually a few years ago, before we were even a church, Pastor John had actually came down and did a small little conference for us in Deerfield Beach at the Embassy Suites Hotel. And at this point, he had already agreed to come down to be our pastor. Thank you. And it was funny. I was talking to him before the conference started, and he said, "You know, we're going to need a song team." And I turned to him and I said, "Well, you know what? I just found out that Andy and Lynn, you know, they like to sing. You know, I know they go to like the karaoke places and stuff like that, and they love it." Right? And his eyes lit up. He goes, "Watch this!" And he walks right up to Andy and says, "Andy, you're our new song leader." And Andy had this look on his face. He was all pale and drawn. And he had this look on his face. Somebody told him he was going to have triplets or something. It was just like deer in the headlights. Pat said, "No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to start you, but I wanted to plant a seed." And you know, from that day on, they have been faithful servants of this song team. And I want to really thank them. And you guys will not be replaced.
They'll be back. They'll be back. I don't know how often or when, but they'll be back. All right, well, this time we're going to get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We don't time these services when we do the special services, so we don't really know how long everything's going to take. So we might finish a little early, which I guess is not a problem for anybody, right? But at this time, I would like to invite forward the ushers. You guys who are ushers, come on forward. So let's prepare by passing out the communion elements this morning. And I just love the young people stepping up, whether it's in singing or skits or ushers today. Look at that. Love it. You know, the reading that we had from the book of Acts this morning was when Peter preached his first gospel message to the Gentiles. And he proclaimed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And every time we gather together, celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do the same thing. And when he spoke, one of the things that he said was that God raised him up on the third day, Jesus Christ, granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen before him by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And the thing is that every time we gather together for the Lord's Supper, we're eating and drinking with him. And because the Bible says wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he is in our midst. And that means that we become witnesses to his death and his resurrection, and individually in his body. And the Lord died and rose again so that he would have a family, that he would have a company, that he would have brothers and sisters that would be with him forever. And that's who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We're that family. And especially when we gather together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we express the fact that we're one body, one family. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what we have done today. One of the great things about these special services is that we have many of our brothers and sisters that are a part of it, whether it's in the singing or the readings or even the ushers for the Lord's Supper, all of that. And those of you that gather and are so faithful, and those of you that may be here for the first time, you're all an indispensable part of this congregation, this body, and we're all here as a corporate, the Bible says, a corporate expression of who Jesus Christ is. That's what we're here. And his death made that possible. And his spirit inside every one of us is what gives us what we need. We'll never have what we need in and of ourselves. But always remember that God the Holy Spirit is inside to make up for all the lacks that you and I have naturally. And so just be here with us today as you are. Understand that our God is a God of mercy and total forgiveness. That whoever believes in him has forgiveness for sins, period. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And as Paul writes, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's remember the fact what he did at the cross, identifying for us, becoming our substitute, so that our sins would be forgiven and wiped away. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. By his blood, by his death, and his resurrection, he has brought in a totally new covenant. All things are new. We're new creatures in Christ. And let's just remember that it was his death, his blood, that was made that all possible. So let's just drink the cup together and just realize that. For as often as we gather together to eat the bread and drink the cup, but proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he could be coming really, really soon. So we'll just keep doing this till he comes. And then when he comes, believe me, that will be a glorious day, as we sang this morning. Let's close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for gathering the saints this morning on this great day, this glorious day where we remember your son's death and resurrection, especially the resurrection, Father. And we know that you use the greatest power in the universe to raise your son from that grave. And we also know that that great power is available to us by means of God the Holy Spirit. And so we just celebrate that, Father. We're about to sing one more time. And as we do, we're going to lift our voices and worship and praise to you, the amazing, merciful, forgiving, loving, just, righteous God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That you are dismissed. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the day. Keep in mind the glorious Lord and the glorious day that awaits us. You're dismissed.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failure.